Welcome back to If It Had Not Been podcast. This is your host, Miss Olivia Wright. I am so happy to be back. God is good. For those who are new to the podcast, this podcast is inspired by Psalm chapter 124, verse 1. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. This is King David, who remember and reflects on God's deliverance, his mercy, his goodness, his love, his healing, his blessing, and his grace. And if you know King David was met or faced a lot of adversity, and some he brought on himself, but also some that he just faced because of his position and the anointing and call that God had on his life. But nonetheless, he has testimony after testimony, as we can read in the scriptures, of how God showed up for him. And so we want to do the same thing. And so if it had not been the Lord who was on my side, I could put myself in those shoes and relate. And we always want to look back on our trophy case to see what the Lord has done. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. It is not I that live, but it is Christ that lives in me. And I can testify to what the Lord has done in my life. And I overcome the enemy when I do that, because I'm giving God the glory, the honor, and the praise. Amen. I will never let a rock cry out in my place. Hallelujah. So today's topic is on discouragement. Wow, discouragement. A part of the human experience, right? Whether you're in Christ or out of Christ, discouragement comes. And what I like to do is just look up a definition and define discouragement. And so looking online, the King James Version Dictionary, discouragement is defined as to extinguish the courage of, to dishearten, to depress the spirits, to deprive of confidence. I like that. Secondly, to deter from anything, to attempt to repress or prevent. Amen. To dissuade from, as to discourage an effort. Wow. That sounds about right. And if you, like I have, had a moment or two or three or four or five or 100 moments of discouragement, I'm sure those definitions could relate to you. And one that sticks out to me is to dishearten, to depress the spirits, and to extinguish the courage of, to deprive of confidence, to attempt to repress or prevent. Very interesting. So I want to talk about discouragement. I want to talk about those moments and times of life where we are met with adversity, or we are met with a circumstance or a situation that brings about discouragement, that brings about a moment in time or a season where we are disheartened, where we are depressed, right? Where we don't feel like we have enough courage to move forward in, right? Where we are just deprived of confidence. We don't have the confidence to follow through or to move through. We are prevented from moving forward because of this discouragement. And sometimes when you're discouraged, you may just, you don't want to be around anybody. You know, it's like a disappointed feeling. You're kind of down. Right? You maybe even be stuck and just don't know what to do. You've basically come to the end of yourself, as I would say. And you're just like, wow, I'm stuck. I'm stagnated. I don't know how to move forward in this. I want to do it, or I have to do it, but I don't know how, and I don't have the courage to. And so we want to talk about that. But when we talk about it, because we are in Christ Jesus, and because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, we want to search the Word. We want to search the Scriptures. We want to get out that sword of the Spirit and go in and say, Lord, show me where this has happened to someone in life so I can understand and maybe get revelation and wisdom on how to handle it. Amen. Because when you're discouraged, you can go a couple of different ways. You can go the narrow way or you can go the wide way. Amen. You could get in prayer and set aside time to worship through it and send your praises up to the Lord and get in that Word and trust God. Amen. And just hold on to the faith and just practicing your spiritual disciplines just to get through. Or you could, you know, wild out. You know, you could throw in the towel. You can give up. Amen. You could just not even do it at all and just run and avoid, right? You could just let it sit there and just say, you know what, I'll be back maybe, right? Those are our options there. And so we want to do what God has called us to do. We want to be able to move and press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We want to be able to move forward, and we want to be confident. We want to be courageous, and you know, we want to know that we have we want to walk in the joy of the Lord. Amen. We want to walk in the peace that surpasses all understanding, regardless of what we're facing. Amen. And one thing too about the Scriptures is we are not alone. Amen. Life has happened before we even got here. Go in Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes, and find out. I think it says there wasn't nothing new under the sun. There is nothing new under the sun. Amen. So thank God for His Word, and thank God for the people of faith, the people of God that have come before us, whether they're in the Scriptures or even somebody that you have seen and witnessed go through some things. Amen. A brother and sister in the faith, that their testimony of getting through discouragement or a low time in life, right? So we just thank God for the people of God that He's placed in our lives. And then of course His Word that we can search through for what it is that we need, because the Lord is the shepherd that I shall not want, that you shall not want, for those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's get to it. I got a couple of people, and I will say this. I want to be brief here, and I want to make sure I go over all my examples because of what God has called me to do. I don't want to belabor. I just really want to kind of highlight some things that I God revealed to me in going through the Scriptures. And, you know, I'm going to start off with Prophet Elisha. I got to tell you, for me, Prophet Elijah is definitely a prophet of the Old Testament that I could just read about every day. His story is just absolutely miraculous and a wonder. Amen. And so the power he had in his time and how God used him and what he used him for. Whew, you know, you can only dream to have been used by God in that way. So I'm looking in 1 Kings chapter 19. And just to kind of give a little bit on Prophet Elijah, he's a mouthpiece of God. It's just who God has called and anointed to prophesy and to warn the Israelites who have started to worship Baal. I mean, these are the children of God, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Israelites and the Hebrew people who were brought up out of Egypt and who were in bondage and slavery to the Egyptians for over 400 years, and that God heard their cry and he sent Moses, his servant, to go and get them. And he brought them up out of Egypt and parted the Red Sea for them and brought them into the wilderness. And they spent 40 years in that wilderness with Moses. But what God promised Abraham, which was the promised land, he met that promise. His promises are yes and amen. And he did that. He brought them out of slavery and bondage in Egypt, parted the Red Sea for them to get through, defeated all their foes and enemies, and also even in the wilderness, he did the same, but also gave them a promised land that actually belonged to the Canaanites. And Joshua, you know, was passed the baton, if you will, to go in and get them over that Jordan and get them into that promised land flowing with milk and honey. And so they made it. They have made it to the promised land, and God had already spoke through his servant Moses, telling them and saying, listen, I, when you get there to the promised land, because it's coming, I need you to remember my law and my statutes, because if you forget who I am and you start to just lose that and you don't worship me, you put other gods before me, I gotta tell you, is not going to be good. Amen. And so of course, you know, as we do as people, we prone to sin. Amen. Prone to wander. And the Israelites rejected the covenant of God, but it starts with King Ahab. King Ahab was in position over the children of Israel, and Prophet Elijah was called to warn King Ahab. Like, listen, you are worshiping Baal. That's a false god. And he's worshiping Baal because he married Jezebel. His wife was a Baal worshiper. She worshiped Baal. She worshiped false gods. She had false prophets and everything. Like, she had false, you know, altars and all. Like, that was her thing. And unfortunately, King Ahab did evil in the sight of the Lord. And so Prophet Elijah had to, you know, obviously warn the children of Israel, you know, advise Ahab and just show up in different ways that God does to bring about a warning to his people. And there was a time in 1 Kings 19 where there was a time in the story where Prophet Elijah had to kill at least 450 Baal prophets. There was this, I don't want to call it a competition, but a coming to moment where they had to show up and say, your God or my God. Amen. Let's go toe to toe. Your God versus my God. What are we going to do? And of course, the true and living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, came through where the false prophets could not. Amen. And so they were slayed, and Prophet Elijah slayed them. And when Jezebel, the wife of King Ahab, the Baal worshiper, this wicked woman, when she found out about it, she threatened Prophet Elijah's life, basically told him, listen, what you did to my false prophets, I'm going to have done to you. And at this point, Prophet Elijah was just like, you know what? I can't. And just imagine, let me just hang here for a second, having to go toe to toe. Now, it's one person. Prophet Elijah is one person. And there's 450 false prophets. And they swear they know what time it is. They know that their God is the God of all gods. They know that their God is going to come through. And I think it was a fire. They had to the God had to bring about a fire. And just to wrap it up, the reason I want to hang here is because Prophet Elijah had a significant responsibility here. This is a huge call. And although we may not be in Prophet Elijah's shoes, here he is doing the work of the Lord and doing what God has called him to do. And he had to kill these false prophets, but not only did he do that, now his life is threatened. His life is threatened. He's doing the work of the Lord, and here comes somebody saying, you know what? Time to die. That's discouraging, right? It was so discouraging. prophet Elijah ran for his life. This is verse 3 of 1 Kings 19. He ran for his life. How discouraging do you have to be to run for your life? And the reason why I want to bring this up is because it's a prophet who's called to do the work of the Lord, who God used as his mouthpiece, but even he was discouraged. Even he was discouraged. He was depressed. He was disheartened. He was deprived of confidence in this moment. He's seen God show up time and time again, perform miracles through him. God led him and guided him. God never led him in a direction he wasn't supposed to go. I mean, he had it going on, but yet in this moment, he got discouraged so much that he was afraid and he ran for his life. Amen. Think about the assignment that you have. Think about the call that God placed on your life. Think about the places that he's put you in. Amen. The places and spaces that he's put you in to get his business taken care of. And here you are serving the Lord and zealous about it and joyful about it and just doing what God has called you, being obedient. And yet you are met with opposition. Yet you, here comes another problem. I just slayed 450 false prophets. Now you're threatening me. You know what? I'm tired. I got to go. I got to get up out of here. Why is it every other day, every other week, every other month, something else? Lord, I'm doing the work you've called me to do. What the what? Now am I walking down your street? Because I'm walking down my own street. I kind of felt that in my heart a little bit, like, yeah, I'm preaching to myself. But what I love about 1 Kings 19 is that in verse 13, this is where I really want to reveal what God showed me. And it's verse 13. He says, what are you doing here, Elijah? This is when Elijah done ran. He went up under a tree first and he was there for a while. And God ministered to him and made sure he ate and drank. And then he went on in his journey. He went to, I believe, Mount Horeb, and he just stayed in the cave. He's in the cave at this point, right? So God is showing up in the wind, and God is there. He knows it's God outside, and he's like, what are you doing here, Elijah? Now, I'm going to stop there. Because although I didn't go over the first place that he went under the tree, God showed up. That's the revelation. You know, that's the revelation right there. He was discouraged. He ran for his life. God not only showed up when he was under the tree and made sure he got something to eat and something to drink, but he also showed up again at the cave. So what does that mean? That means if we are on assignment and we are in position and we are serving the Lord and we are doing the work of the Lord and we are obedient and we are doing what he's called us to do, when we have a moment of discouragement, I don't care if it's on your job. I don't care if it's you in your parenting. I don't care if it's you, you know, in your friendships, whether you're serving in the church. I'm talking about whatever God has given you to steward and whatever business of his he has given you to do. When you get discouraged, this scripture, this reading, what revealed to me, what Holy Spirit revealed to me was God is going to show up. I don't know about you, but I got a testimony right there. Let me explain something to you. There have been times where I have thrown in the towel and I said, you know what? That's not what I'm going to do. Because I done sat up here, I've been obedient, I showed up where I was supposed to show up, I prayed how I was supposed to pray, amen, I sang how I was supposed to sing, I worshiped how I was supposed to worship, I went to Bible study, I went to all the volunteering events, I got showed up at work on time, I brought in my process improvement ideas, I trained a child up in the way that they should go, that they shall not depart from it, I tried to reconcile this relationship, I forgave like I was supposed to forgive, I'm loving my neighbor as myself like I'm supposed to, but Here comes something else. Oh, yeah, I've been there. See, I may not have the experience slaying 450 false prophets. Amen. That I know of. Hallelujah. But I have been discouraged. And what God has given me the steward of, Lord, I keep saving money, but my bank account keeps going down. Lord, I'm trying to get this credit score up, but it keeps going down. You know what, Lord? I give up. I'm not doing this. And every time I got to that place, when I came to the end of myself, when I said, you know what? Not today. God showed up. Isn't that something? There are times where you might go through a little, it might be a little couple of minutes. This is that discouragement that just got you off kilter. You said, you know what? I'm just going to make a pit stop over here. I'm going to go off the road and rest right here. I'm not going to keep traveling because I'm tired. And in every single moment, God has showed up. Like, oh, you're done? Okay, fine. Here, this is what I need you to do. Let me keep going. So Elijah says, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. This is verse 14. I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. They killing your prophets. I'm the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. He's telling God how he feel. He's telling God what's going on, even though God already know. But he's saying, like, listen, you got me out here. They killing prophets. What am I supposed to be next? I don't think so. This right here, I don't have that to do. But you know what I love about God is, and I'm disappointed I don't have the rest of this scripture, but maybe that'll give you some enticement there to go back and read it. But God ended up giving Prophet Elijah a little revelation to say, you are not the only one. Oh, I've got plenty of prophets left. Trust me when I tell you. But this is what I want you to do. He began to give Prophet Elijah instructions on what he needs to go and do next. Amen. I mean, come on, y'all. Like, are you hearing me right now? God will show up in that discouraged state. He's not going to leave you or forsake you. And not only that, he's going to give you instructions on how to move forward. He's going to give you that strategy, that vision, and those ideas to say, you know what? Let's get this done. Let's just write it down. Let me tell you what you need to do and go ahead and handle your business. And Prophet Elijah went out and did it. And everything that he prophesied, it came true. Everything that God told him to do, he did. And what I love about God too, is he asked him to anoint Elisha to come behind him. So he actually gave him help. He gave him someone to mentor and to bring up and to pay it forward. Amen. So I just really wanted to kind of focus in on that, especially for those pastors and those prophets out there that are in the thick of it. Amen. And, you know, it could be on your job. It could be, out in the marketplace or whatever. But we know that doing the work of the Lord can bring about discouragement. You know, you can become overwhelmed with that, but just know when you're doing the work of the Lord, he will never leave you or forsake you. And when you are discouraged, he will come through. Amen. That's what I got from Prophet Elijah's story. Let me move on. The last example that I want to give here, because there was one I'm going to skip, is Cleopas and one other disciple that were traveling, and they had talked about what happened to Jesus. This was post-resurrection, when Jesus Christ was hung on the cross, buried, and resurrected on the third day, as was prophesied, as was foretold. And he did that, right? That sacrifice had to be made to take upon our iniquities, to take upon our sin. He was that sinless lamb that was slain on that cross, that we may be reconciled back to God through him, right? Sin is what broke us and disconnected us from God, but he made a way. He is the way, the truth, and the light. And so he made that way for us to be reconciled back to God. Thank the Lord for his love. John 3:16. But they were walking and traveling back to Jerusalem, and Jerusalem was some time away, but they were on their way back to Jerusalem. Their faces were downcast. And the reason why I want to hang here a little bit is because these disciples knew Jesus Christ. They were with him. Man, let me explain something to you. Every time I read the scriptures, and after Jesus was hung on the cross, after he made that sacrifice for us, I think about how the disciples would have felt. Like, wow, how discouraging can that be? I was walking with you. I followed him. He fed thousands of people with two fish and a loaf of bread. I can get my numbers off, but I'm just saying, I've seen him perform miracles. He raised Lazarus from the dead. Amen. He delivered people from demonic possession. He made the lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear. People was coming to him, son of David, son of David. We've seen him perform miracles. He preached the Sermon on the Mount. He told us, he shared parables with us. We was in the Garden of Gethsemane with him. Like, oh my God, we were in a boat with him. You remember when he made the sea obey him? Like, oh wow. I mean, they saw and experienced so much. Could you imagine that being taken away from you? You walking, let me tell you something. I'm walking around with Jesus in the physical. Oh, you can't tell me nothing. I'll probably be acting a fool. I'll be Peter times 20. You will not be able to tell me a dang on thing. And so just imagine you lose a loved one. You lose someone. You know, they were a mentor, they were a father figure, a mother figure. They were someone important and significant in your life. They were someone who poured into you. Amen. And we know we have mothers and fathers in Christ is what we call it. People who have brought us along and encouraged us in the faith and shared their wisdom. People you were able to sit at their feet. Amen. Come on, talk to me. Those cloud of witnesses that we had, they were once here, but now they're gone, and we can't pray with them no more. We can't, you know, go to them and seek counsel and wisdom anymore. Amen. Come on now. Somebody talk to me. That's discouraging. Now you mean to tell me I got to walk this faith out without this individual? Well, it seemed very joyous and celebratory and exciting when I had this individual. You know, you brought this individual to me. You brought us together, iron sharpening iron. And now you're telling me they're gone no more? Oh, whew. Discouraging, right? How do you move forward from that? How do you come to a place where you're like, okay, I got to learn how to live life without that. I got to learn how to move on and not have that person to call and get counsel, or have that person call on me to pray, or have that person, you know, to study the Bible with and ask a question with. Amen. Like built for relationship. Human beings are built to be in relationship with one another. So anytime you have that, and then it's just upheaved and you know, it's broken up and death comes and that person is gone. It doesn't have to be death. It could be that person has to go and live in another country. They have to go and live in another state. God has moved them on to another church. It's a loss nonetheless, right? Come on now. It can be discouraging. How do I move on from here? This is going to be different. I got to figure out what's next. So their faces are downcast and they're just reflecting and talking about it like, man. But what I love about this scripture, The same thing we just saw with Prophet Elijah in 1 Kings 19. God showed up. He didn't let them hang out in that too long. He didn't let them go, years and decades and just with nothing. No, he showed up in the midst of their discouragement, in the midst of their faces downcasted. Come on, somebody, talk to me. Are you looking around to see where God is? Because you are his son. You are his daughter. Amen. You are an heir of the promises of God. His promises are yes and amen. You are not alone. He is with you. So if you are downcast and you are discouraged, come on now. God is somewhere. Do you see him? Can you feel him? Do you hear him? Jesus showed up in this moment next to these disciples. So they were so downcast, they didn't even know he was there talking to them. They didn't catch on right away. Hallelujah. Which makes me think like, oh, you know what? Hey, if I ever get discouraged, I better make sure my eyes and my ears are open because God got to show up somewhere. I know he's not going to leave me hanging. Jesus did not leave his disciples hanging. He came back to see about them. Come on. Ooh, I don't know about you, but I'm getting excited. I don't want to go through discouragement, but I know it's a part of life. But I got a new joyous feeling about going through it now, because if I do get discouraged, and when I did get discouraged, God showed up in his miraculous way. So I just encourage you, Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 24. Look how Jesus showed up. And when he showed up, he said, hey, why your face is downcast? What's going on with y'all? And they like, what you mean? What's going on with us? They still not paying attention to who's talking to them. I'm like, haven't you heard of what happened to Jesus? Where you been at? This is news all over the town. What you talking about? What's going on? You don't know? He gone. And so Jesus, what Jesus does, oh, this is, it's a beautiful story. You know, he ended up taking them and they went and had a meal and went with the other disciples. It was a reunion. It was a beautiful time. But he showed up and he ministered to them. He didn't leave them hanging in discouragement. It will come, but God will not leave you hanging in it. Amen. Prophet Elijah had to respond. God showed up. Prophet Elijah had to respond, though. He asked him a question. Prophet Elijah had to respond. He had to answer the question. Then God gave him instructions on how to move forward. Even with the disciples, same thing. He showed up. He's having a conversation. They're responding back. And eventually, guess what? Oh, it's Jesus. Come on now. I just want to encourage you today. I want to get you to a place where you no longer are disheartened and that your courage is back and that you have that confidence that we all have in Christ Jesus, and you are willing and able and more than joyous to move forward. And you know, like, God is going to come through. I might have a moment right now, but he's going to show up and he's going to show out. Amen. All right, let's get to it. I just got to land here with a couple of scriptures here. I just want to say this. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. The Lord said, Jesus Christ said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Listen, God has not called us to do something burdensome. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. If you're weary in your burden, he said, come to me, I will give you rest. If you're discouraged, he said, come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Amen. For those of you in Christ, this is still for you. For those of you not in Christ, this is for you. You are weary and burdened with your life. You're tired of trying to figure out things on your own. You're tired of hitting your head up against the wall. You're tired of dealing with discouragement all by yourself. That's what Jesus can take on for you. You ain't got to do it yourself. You can give it to him. Somebody talk to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Come to me. Where are you going when you get discouraged? You going to your friend, calling them up, girl, let me tell you what happened. Oh my goodness, I'm going through it. I'm so tired. Yeah, we need people to talk to. That's fine. That's okay, but we need to be going to God. We need to put everything at the feet of Jesus. We need to cast all our anxieties and cares upon him because he cares for us. He is our shepherd that we shall not want. He will meet our needs according to our riches and glory. Amen. We are to seek him and his righteousness that all things will be added unto us. Amen. And so I really pray this is encouraging to you for those who have gone through discouragement, whether on your job, in the marketplace, whether family matters, right? Whether money matters, whether ministry matters. Amen. All of that. And no matter what area, no matter of life, no matter the situation, the circumstance, it's a real thing for everybody. But let's just end it with this. God will show up in your discouragement. When you get to that place, when you want to throw in that towel, you come to the end of yourself and you are weary and burdened, he will show up. He will show up. Wait on it. Wait on it. He gonna come through. All right, encouragement for the journey. Always got to do this. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. That's Jeremiah 29:11. We should not become weary in good doing good. Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. That's Galatians 6:9. We got to keep moving. Got to keep the faith. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. That's Romans 8:28. Amen. Let us press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:14. I choose God because he loved the world so much. He gave his only begotten son. Whoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. In Romans 10:9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I'm going to heaven. I'm just thankful to God for his forgiveness of all my sins, and he will forgive you your sins too. There's not anything that you have done that God will not forgive you for. You come to him and he will forgive you. Amen. That's what it says. Confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, because it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Amen. Jesus is Lord. Well, thank you so much. I'm so blessed in this moment. I pray that God will give you the strength, the courage, and everything that you need, as he always does, for whatever situation, circumstance that you are facing. Trust God, he will do it and he will show up. So in the meantime, in between time, be blessed. Thank you so much. This is If It Had Not Been for the Lord Who Was On My Side. Amen. Be blessed. Have a good week.